Hi, this is the session for 9 ways to use your status as an award-winning author to increase book sales. And I know we've got a good number of attendees on thus far. Why don't we go around and just everybody introduce themselves and where they're from.
My name is Hilda Gurdian, and I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina.
My name is Catherine Ferguson. I'm from Tucson, Arizona.
And I'm Carlos Melendres from New Mexico.
I'm Stephanie Arnold from Chicago.
Oh. Esther Jones from California.
Victoria Oliveira from New York.
Okay.
Amelia de Dios, España, Spain.
Excellent.
Natalie Torres from LA.
All right. Go ahead.
Oh, Randy Jurado Hotel, Los Angeles.
Excellent. Okay. And the one thing, how many of you have ever done a Google search on the term award-winning author?
Not me.
All of you are going to want to do that just to see how many thousands of things come up. I get a daily search on that term. And it's amazing how many people are using that term. And it, in reality, it's one of the most popular terms associated with publishing. And so the fact that we are the only entity that has really incorporated it into an award, I think is really unique and gives us something extra special. And one of the things, having worked within the Latino community for over 40 years now, that I know Latinos are often more shy than certain other groups by their nature, and they don't like to promote themselves or feel more uncomfortable about promoting themselves. And I think that that's something that you have to sit there and make sure that, you know, you're not in that category. Don't be afraid to use it. You guys are all winners, and don't be shy about promoting yourselves and that. And if you feel uncomfortable about it, maybe a friend of yours can help promote you and that kind of a thing in terms of your local area. And that. I know somebody like Randy that's on the call. Randy is not shy about promoting himself, and because of that, he gets more attention than other authors that might be just as deserving, but Randy's not afraid to step into the spotlight. Right, Randy?
Yeah, but I'm still hesitant, yes. It's a mixture.
Right, but you do a great job of promoting yourself on the topics of the books that you're writing about and that. And when you see an event coming up and things like that, I know you sit there and you give them a call. Do you want somebody to come and speak on this and that kind of stuff? And I think that's what helps separate you from perhaps other authors.
Yes.
And I think one of the reasons all many authors get published is to get more recognized in their field. It might be an academic that's writing because they don't get a promotion within their college. If they don't publish books, it might be a children's book author that just loves children's books and came up with one of their own, and that's why they're doing it, and all those, all the different reasons that we did it. But then, in my mind, every serious author, the next thing they want to be after they are published, they want to be an award-winning author, because it really gives them that recognition and that. And so all of you are award-winning authors, and don't be afraid to use that. The third point on this list that I prepared here is, after your name, start using, put comma, AWA. There's a lot of industries out there, like the travel industry, that they can have 3, 4, 5 sets of acronyms after their name because of different things that they've done in the travel industry. And that. But within the publishing industry, nobody has ever used the term AWA. Initially, it becomes that thing that you put it on your business card, you put it on your emails, things like that. People are going to go, AWA, what's that stand for? What they're really doing is saying, tell me about your book, tell me about this and that, and how'd you become an award-winning author, and that. Whoever's making some noise, can you mute your phone? Okay. So that way, it's really a great way for you, with very little energy, to start getting people asking more about what you're doing and that. And I would estimate at least 200 award-winning authors thus far are using that term, because I see it on emails all the time, and I've had probably in the vicinity of 50 to 60 people.
Promote a winner.
Other people ask about that, and so that weren't award-winning authors, but they said, oh, I've seen people using it, or tell us more, and that kind of stuff. So it is starting to work. It's the kind of thing that over a course of 4 or 5 years, it will become a real industry standard. And I also love the way the AWA in many font types fits together. It just melds together so nicely and that. And if you have any questions on these points or other things related to that point that have worked for you, don't hesitate to jump right in. I want this to be two-way.
I have a question. How do you write it? Do you kind of say, like in my case, my name is Hilda Gurdian, and then right after Gurdian, I maybe type a comma, and then those AWA? Is that the correct way?
Exactly. That is the correct way. That is exactly the correct way.
Thank you.
I have a question also. I did get an email that I am a finalist. Does that mean that I am an award-winning author?
Exactly. Be sure and click through all. There's a download specifically on this title and things along those lines, so that it gives you examples and that kind of stuff. Be sure and click through to see the different things. Included in that email is also the logo, so that you can start using. I know some people even use the logo on their emails, the award-winning author logo and that. So just follow the guidelines for using the logo, please.
Can you clarify why we are called finalists as opposed to award-winning author right away? Why
okay.
Finalist?
Well, you're a finalist. Every finalist will be getting an award on September 8th. But with those, some of you will get first place, some will get second, that kind of a thing. But it's where all of you ultimately are award-winning authors. So it's just a different way.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. The next one, number four, is use the AWA sticker on your books or the logo and that, if you're reprinting the book and that, so that it's an easy way for people to identify it. I would suggest if you are using the, you've got a new edition printed with the logo on it, when you have one on display somewhere, use the actual sticker because then it adds that three-dimension aspect to it and that kind of a thing. So it just is a great way of attracting attention to your book. And inevitably, if somebody's walking along and here are five books and only one of them has a sticker on it, that one's probably going to get more attention than the other ones. Then going to number five, with your next book, mention the award on the back cover of your book and, of course, in your bio inside, what some authors are now using inside where they have a picture of themselves, they can run a picture of, the logo next to their picture. That kind of a thing just adds more credibility to you. But the key thing when you're reaching out and looking for reviews for that book, this is the kind of thing that will help you get a review in the more important places. Somebody has a lot of background noise. Could you please mute your phone? To mute, you can go *6 will mute your line. If you don't have a button on your cell phone or whatever to do it. So, It's really important with those big places like Publishers Weekly probably gets, well, I know they get thousands of books every week. And ultimately, they're going to review 50 to 200 of those. And literally, when I was last there at the Publishers Weekly offices, they had these bins full of books that had come in and we're not going to even get unwrapped because the cover letter didn't meet their standards and nothing prompted them to open it and that. And so that's why that cover letter really has to catch their attention. And this is one of those ways. Okay. Moving on to number six.
I have a question, Kirk.
Sure.
Do you have any, or are you going to have any workshops that talk about those things? Because those things seem to be important, like, the intro letter you're talking about that might catch their attention to read your book, or, there's other types of letters, like, the Curry letter, or what is it called? I forget. But anyway, it's all the introductory stuff so that you can learn how those things work. Also, if you want to submit a piece of writing and they don't know you, don't you need like an intro letter as well?
I'm not hearing one word. You're saying something letter.
Oh, I said, if there's going to be a workshop on introductory letters.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Introductory. We could do a future ISLA conference call along those lines. And
that
it's
would
not
be great.
Really, yeah, it's not really introductory letters, but getting reviews is really one that would be a topic by itself.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I agree.
And in that, because that is certainly a key area. One of the things with the books that we get each year entered into the awards, about one-third comes from major publishing houses, one-third comes from medium-sized houses and the bigger of the smaller houses, and then one-third are either self-published or they're from very, very small publishing houses. And the one thing with that final group there, the vast majority of those books are not going to get a review in Publishers Weekly and other places from the standpoint that they are not following one or more industry standards. And that's one of the things that trips up a lot of authors that are self-publishing in that.
What are those problems?
Well, that could be a whole workshop in itself.
Yeah,
in that.
Because it really, just
on the covers, there's like 15 to 20 things that are anticipated, and a lot of our smaller entities don't do them, and because of that, they're just not going to be considered in these. So somebody just picking it up, even before they open the book, it doesn't meet those standards, so it's going to be set aside. And I see that in the judging, where we are, most of the judging for most books is on the content, but then when it comes to presentation, some great books will get marked down because they just are not meeting these different other standards and so it's a key thing for getting reviews and that. And it doesn't take anything away from the actual content and that, but it does prohibit some of those books from going anywhere.
Kirk, I just have a question. My publisher said that until you win two awards, they do not consider that award winning. And the second part of that question is, do I need to tell as the author, I have to tell my publisher I want it printed as award-winning author, like print that sticker on the second run of the book?
Exactly. Yeah, just make sure your publisher gets a copy of that logo as well as the guidelines that go along with it. We did have one author, award-winning author, with their first book or whatever, and then when they did their next book, they put the logo on the cover and they had to withdraw the whole. It was a short run with the first run of that next book, and they did it without me even asking because they realized they'd made a mistake.
But is it proprietary for you as a using that award-winning author? Because I just won a second award, and now they can print it out. But the logo that they're going to use, the one you're talking about for the International Latino Book Awards, is one thing. But to put
exactly.
AWA on it is a different story, correct?
Well, no, the AWA, you can use that wherever. The term AWA, the award-winning author logo, you can use within the guidelines as stated, but as soon as you got that finalist notice, you can start using it. Now, often with children's books in particular, they will run, a great children's book will have 2, 3, 4 seals of some sort on that cover. And so it really helps play up with those ones that are really getting national attention, that they've not only won one, they've won three or four, that kind of a thing.
Okay, great. Thank you.
No, these are great questions, and I appreciate that. Contact your local mainstream media. How many people here have ever reached out to your local mainstream media about winning your award?
I certainly have, but have met with nothing but silence.
Really?
Yeah, Kurt, I worked in television most of my career and in news, and there has to be something that circles back, even if it's your local community. So, for instance, if your book is about fathers and sons, it's probably a good idea to touch base with your local news and say, I have a great Father's Day book, and by the way, I'm an award-winning author, and I can talk on the subject. And then they'd be more inclined to hear that. It's all in the pitch and doing it for them, as opposed to just calling them and speaking to the news desk and saying, hey, I'm an award-winning author, and I have a new book out, and let me talk to you about it.
Exactly. And you're right with TV. TV is the hardest sell. And actually, while certain kinds of media have certainly grown in recent years, the number of field reporters and that within TV certainly is not one of those growing segments. But as we get close to a time of the year like Hispanic Heritage Month, that's a great time to reach out again, because many entities will, for that month, like you were saying, they're looking for a hook. And so they have 30 days during that month. They may go, okay, one of these days we'll do a local Latino author. And if you're the only one that reached out, odds are you will get that call and that. Excuse me?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear the call. The call, what call? For what?
Oh, in terms of Hispanic Heritage Month, is one of those times of the year that an entity that may not normally be thinking about a Latino topic will inevitably be looking at that. So that's the type of thing to be thinking about. Within the Hispanic market, you don't have to sell them as much, although it may be where if you offer to that local paper, I can do a short article if you don't have staff and that type of a thing to do it. And do it that way. One of the most interesting things we also oversee the National Association of Hispanic Publications Jose Martí Awards, and have been doing that since 1989. And before that, I was the founding president of that group. But with that group, the most popular category in terms of number of entries is Outstanding Hispanic Success Story article. And so all of you are really primed for that type of an article. So look at it not merely an article about your book. Look at it from the standpoint of here you are, you're a local success story in a variety of angles, each of you will be different, but use that as the approach maybe along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next is contact your local schools, libraries, and colleges about your award. And that's where they would be interested in many cases. It might be where they're going to go come speak at this class. It might be where they've got a paying gig for you, a whole variety of things. But the reaching out to them is that first step. And for instance, within the library industry, for quite a while, the library segment was a real bare bones. And for whatever reason, their funding has gone up, and they are definitely looking at that local person that has made a name for themselves to come and speak and that kind of stuff. Schools, it's very much hit and miss. And colleges, it's going to depend on the departments and who's in the administration and things along those lines.
Kurt, I have a question.
Sure.
Kurt, okay. My question has to do with libraries. Library is a great venue to get your book into to increase your sales. However, there's a real cumbersome process in order to do that. And I was wondering if at all any of these webinars would hit on that process and maybe with sample letters, et cetera, because the libraries, once you get in, it's almost like a chain reaction. One library you get into, and then pretty soon the other. If your book is circulating, they're interested in getting that book as well, and that's national. They do require...
The second and third segments of the distribution, upcoming distribution webinars, will be touching on that. And
will
so... October and December.
Oh, that'll be great. But will that webinar also give us some sample letters to send? Because I am like what you mentioned, I'm self-published, I realize, too, by doing that, I've really, you know, I have to get a Library of Congress number and all this other stuff, which means for my current book, I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to go ahead and try out with the second book so I'm better prepared to be ready for library distribution. But will your webinar give us any kind of real detailed process and possibly sample letters to get out to libraries?
It will not cover everything. It's a lot of hand-holding. And the biggest problem... And that, save it for the distribution questions, because the distribution, you know, now we're getting into actual distribution and that. But,
okay.
Because it really, there's a couple big hurdles there that affect independent ones that until you resolve that, everything else, it doesn't make any difference.
Okay.
What are those things?
No, that's why I said we will cover them under distribution.
Oh, later. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that is interesting what she's saying, because I think that's true. Like, once you start the first one, then the rest will follow. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, the next item is bookmarks. How many of you don't have a bookmark currently?
I don't.
So
I thought about it. I thought it was an important thing to do. I just haven't gotten around doing it because I need to find someone that I would be happy to work with, you know, so that they could do it the way I want it. So I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I gave some sample pricing here for a bookmark, and that, so, I mean, you can get 1,000 of them for $40, and that's a two-sided, four-color on cardstock. So it's not an expensive item. I wouldn't get 1,000. I'd get at least 2,500 or 5,000, because then you're actually saving more money on a per 1,000 basis. But the key thing with those bookmarks is use them as a promo piece. When you go to a library, ask them if you can put some at their counter, and odds are they're going to say yes to that kind of thing. It's not going to hurt them and that. So, you know, think about it as something that you're leaving different places within your community that are reminding them that you exist and that.
Mm-hmm.
And be sure and put the award-winning author logo on there, because I think that's a great way to promote yourself.
Okay.
And then the final item that I have on this list is the tablecloth. And I know we probably have 70 or 80 people out there using these tablecloths. If you do many public events at all, it's a very economical way to promote yourself and help attract attention, because then you're not just another person sitting at a blank table. It actually is saying something in that.
You mean the sticker, putting a sticker on?
No.
No?
Excuse me?
Oh, you said putting the sticker on will distinguish you from other people, right? That's what you're saying?
No. I was saying using the award-winning author tablecloth.
Oh, the tablecloth. Oh,
yeah.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah, because then you're not just a table sitting there in a row. Mm. And that's in part why we chose purple, because it's a different color than most other entities. Nobody else quite likely is going to have a purple tablecloth.
I somehow missed that you even offered tablecloths.
Huh?
Unless I misunderstood, you're offering tablecloths, I guess, also, like you have the logo that you can paste on the book?
Exactly. It's on that same list where you order the stickers, you can order tablecloth and that type of a thing, so that it really creates more of a attention getter for you. Any other questions? These are great questions. I really appreciate the input and everything.
I have questions.
Sure.
Yes. Can you tell us a little bit more about the award conference in California? It's going to be a first for me if I go. I have decided not to go because I feel that I don't know enough on how to manage myself there. And it would be helpful if I had a picture of what's going to be, what happens.
Sure. Okay, the awards on September 8th are going to, it'll be in the evening, there'll be a reception first, then we go into the awards. About half, a little bit over half of the presenters will be from the cast of Zoot Suit, which was anybody from Los Angeles that's closer to my age will remember Zoot Suit as the most amazing Latino cultural event ever. It just galvanized a community and really brought it together, self-pride and all kinds of things. One of the amazing things out of that is, and I'm sure all of you, no matter where you are aware of the Motion Picture Academy's lack of diversity and efforts to diversify and that. And so six of the cast and then Luis Valdez are all now members of the Motion Picture Academy. Four of them were just voted on in the most recent grouping, and there has never been a Latino-themed entertainment vehicle that was a launching pad for as many different people as Zoot Suit was. Hmm. So it really launched, be it Eddie Olmos, Tony Plana, Lupe Ontiveros, on and on, that got their start right there. And that. So that will be that night. We will also be doing that day, the next day, filming for the Latino Reads segments and that. And then on Saturday the 10th, there will be the Los Angeles Latino Book and Family Festival that's going to be at a facility right next to Alvera Street in downtown Los Angeles. So it's a great facility. Any other questions on this?
Anything, all these events take place near the hotel, or how does one manage transportation once one's there?
In terms of that, because there's only really two different locations, we can film you wherever you're at, or wherever we're at. Like, we will be doing some of them over at the campus. The campus is about a mile from the hotel, and there is a shuttle service provided by the hotel to take you back and forth there. And if there's, you know, we will work to make sure that authors that are going to the festival on Saturday can get rides up there. We'll work out something along those lines. If you let us know in advance, we'll connect you with other people coming to the festival from a similar area, something like that.
Mm-hmm. And it ends on Saturday?
It ends on Saturday. So you could fly back Saturday evening to your home, that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Where is the festival going? No, I mean, where is the hotel? What hotel is it?
It is the DoubleTree. The link and everything is in the emails we've been sending out, and that is about a mile. It's in Carson, mm-hmm. California, which is right next to Dominguez Hills, where the campus is. And that is about 10 miles south of Alvera Street. And that.
Mm. And so transportation from the airport to the hotel, is that provided by the hotel?
I don't believe there is that transportation.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask if there will be any sort of more training during those 2 days. Like, the first day is a ceremony, but I'm wondering if, like, there's going to be anything anymore. Because this is very, very helpful, I thought. And mm-hmm. it would be nice to have more of it.
That's why we're going to be doing the Isla webinars and that kind of a thing as a continuing, mm-hmm. ongoing way to provide that. The thing that gets, because we're a very small group here,
mm-hmm.
and it gets awkward putting on the awards, which takes a lot of energy. And like when you're doing the awards in conjunction with doing them at the ALA or at Book Expo, it's where ultimately it's hard to do two things to the highest level, and that mm-hmm. and that's why we separated the two and moved it the awards permanently to LA, and I think it's going to work very well for us. And that.
Oh, so there won't be awards up in Northern California anymore?
No, that was because the American Library Association was there in San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
And that. And so they will be in LA. And the prime long-term goal is really twofold. One, we move the awards from happening early summer to early fall, primarily because the book buying season is from the time kids go back to school through Christmas. That is the book period of the year. And one of the key reasons that we move the awards to that time period is then when we announce those final set of winners, and all the finalists go, of course, beyond that set of winners, is then it becomes, here's your Christmas shopping list. If you want kids' books, they're in here. If you want poetry, it's in here. If you want fiction, nonfiction, whatever, they're in here. And it really becomes that kind of a service to people. And I think it will help in terms of the long-term growth of the awards. The second reason that we moved it to L.A. is that we moved it from the standpoint that in the long run, one of our goals has been to get this the awards made into a TV special and that. And it'll be much easier having it centered in L.A.
Kurt, I have a question regarding the awards. Sure. People are going to be giving getting their awards on that day. Do you think we should be bringing some of our books for sale or not?
You don't bring books to sell on the on that Thursday night. You bring books to sell at the book festival because that's a different event.
Okay.
These have been great questions, and actually, I know we're going a little longer than I anticipated, but that's no problem. And that our goal with these is to keep them to half an hour, because then I think as we and to do them on a monthly basis, and to really help grow things. And I love the two ideas that were suggested in terms of additional topics for that.
One more question.
Sure.
To get from Carson to the book festival on Saturday, do we just email you that we would like to get a ride somehow, or how do we do this?
Yes. Email me a little sooner, not necessarily today. Another list tonight. I'll come up with somebody ultimately to handle that, because
okay, but you're the one I should adjust the email to, or?
At this point, yes.
Okay, great, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, well, I hope we answered most, if not all, your questions, and I realize some of them I put off to the distribution. Distribution, that's why we're doing it as three separate sessions. The first will be on really the evolution of distribution, so that people will understand how it's evolved and changed, some for the better, some for the worse, over the last decade or so. Then the next will focus on certain aspects of distribution, and then the third will focus on really some alternatives that I think are the best way to go.
Okay. One last question. Are you Kurt?
Yes. last time I checked, I certainly was.
Thank you.
One of our board members is Nora Comstock, and one of the questions after a workshop that we gave together was somebody asked, what's a Comstock? It was so funny. So I felt like that was, I know I have a unique voice. It doesn't sound like it is in my mind, but then when I hear it later, I go, oh, that doesn't sound like me.
Well, I thank you so much. This was very, very helpful, and I feel so much more connected with you and the organization, so I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much, Kirk.
Thank you. Okay. Have
see
a good rest of the day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.